Blog Talk Radio.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and everywhere.
you've noticed, it's still dark outside at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then if you noticed in the evening, it's getting darker faster. At least it's getting darker by 7:30. So we're moving into the fall, getting ready to go into the winter. This is September 2022 on Wednesday, the 28th. And next month, you'll begin to see all the beautiful trees changing. And that's a good time. Matter of fact, we try to go up in the North Georgia mountains during that particular time up to Amicalola Falls. If you've never been there, look it up on your, pull it up on your computer, Amicalola Falls. And we always stop by Burke's pumpkin patch. He's got about 10,000 pumpkins out there, and he's got about 9,000 people out there trying to buy them in the month of October. A beautiful scene sight. We go up there every year in October, and then we leave from there and go toward LJ, and there's several apple farms along the road where they sell their products and everything, and we stop in there and get some apples, and sometimes we get some sweet potatoes. The sweet potatoes come from Mississippi. They are delicious if you've never had any. And so it's getting that time. It's getting that time of year. And we hope that you take advantage of God's nature. Just don't let it keep passing you by. There's a reason why that these trees change in such a beautiful color. And when you go up to Amicalola Falls, they have a cottage or a hotel up at the very, 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 very top of the mountain. And when you go out back, you don't see no houses, no nothing. You don't see nothing but just beautiful. God's natures and trees. So we're thankful for you to be on this program this morning. The song that was sung a while ago, God's Mercy and Grace, certainly has touched all of us. Those of you who say that you don't have the Holy Spirit and you really just go too far with that, you got to recognize that it's the Holy Spirit that keeps you from cussing sometime. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps you from slapping somebody sometime. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you walk away instead of doing that kind of challenge. And so we do have the Spirit. We do have the Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God is not in you, then you're still acting on the old man or the old woman. I know sometimes we use the word man as in the masculine gender, but it's also feminine gender as well. And because God loves mankind, that would include women as well. And so you do have the Spirit of God in you. And in most congregations, that Spirit is not exercised as much as it should be. It is not exercised as often as it should be. For our Bible study class on Wednesday night at the Central Church of Christ in Smyrna, of which I'm a minister there, we're going to start studying the book of Ephesians, We're going to start studying that book. And matter of fact, this coming Wednesday, which is tonight, will probably be the last time that we meet at the building, but we're going to start meeting online, on the Zoom, because many of our members don't like driving at night. And when they get there, it's a little bit a day, but by the time we get out at 8:15, something like that, it's pretty dark. And a lot of our members don't drive in the night. And, of course, we don't have that many on Wednesday night. And so we probably make a decision to be online. And hopefully then that would boost our attendance from what we got now to a greater attendance, because we will be online from 7 to 8 o'clock. But we're going to be studying the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a book of unity. The book of Ephesians is a book to say that Christ must be in you to maintain a unity. The book of Ephesians is one of those books that tells us that unless you have this kind of unity in the church, you'll always have discord. You always, Satan will always raise his ugly head some kind of way. Everything becomes an issue. From washing the windows on the building to whatever it might be, and most of you don't understand, and a lot of flack, you get a lot of flack from this kind of situation. But unless we can maintain unity in the congregation, you'll always have splits. You'll always have factions. Matter of fact, you'll always have splits, and they'll be in the church. Most splits don't split and go somewhere else. Some splits stay in the church. I've often said that the aisles, you know, like our church got two aisles, one on the right. Well, it's got actually four, one against the wall, one out in the floor, then one on the left side, and then one against the wall. And you see members sitting over on the right. You see members sitting over on the right side, and you see members sitting over on the left side. And sometimes in some congregations, you'll see families do that. You'll see when you go in, you'll see the Jesse family there. If you go in that church, they're always sitting on the left. And the Cecil family, you'll always see them sitting on the right. And most of us think that that's by design. But over the years, the Jesse family and the Cecil family has had some kind of conflict among themselves or something. One of their daughters got pregnant or something. Another group said that they think it's a sin and you ought not do this, that, and other. So they separate, but they still stay in the same church and stay in the same congregation. And so most of us look at those gaps between those pews as aisles, but those are conflicts. Those are conflicts. Those aisles are there to keep from one group getting to the next group. You'll notice probably when they go, they don't speak to each other when they go out because they're so far apart. One group gets out before the other, and then the other one comes out late. So Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians, he said, you got to fix that. He said, you got to fix that. Now, that's the reason why on your job, listen to what I'm trying to say. If we don't get the conflict resolutions and things done in the church like we should, we can't progress. Most congregations say, well, you know, the pandemic hit us hard and people are not obeying the gospel anymore. Some people saying that people are not looking for the Bible or the truth anymore. All of those are factors, and some of them are just flat out lies. One reason that your church is small is because you don't have unity in that church. You don't have Christ in that church. You don't have the Holy Spirit acting in you in that church. And it's just like a job. Some jobs forbid you to date or associate from that standpoint with your employees. And there's a reason for that. It's because sometimes when a man and a woman own a job, they start dating, they start seeing each other, things that sort. And the next thing you know, they break up. When they break up, most of the time that affects the productivity of that church, of that work, the production of that work at that work, that job site. And the next thing you know, they're not getting this done and not getting that done, especially if it's a secretary or something that sort. So that's the reason why some of them have strict rules that you don't date, that you don't bring that kind of mess to their work site. Some post office and different other places like that. That's why you see that violence. That's why you used to call people going postal on you. It's because some fraction or somehow. Matter of fact, just a few days ago, a guy went to the post office where his girlfriend worked and killed her. And you know, had that friction, and that affects the post office itself. So the same thing happened in church. If you don't get some of that friction and fraction, freaking frat, straight in the church, your church is never going to grow. You can blame it on everybody in the whole world. You can blame it on all the situations. You can blame it on every condition that you want to blame it on. But the bottom line is that you don't have Christ in that church. You don't have the Spirit of Christ in that church. And you need to wake up. You need to, as the book of Revelation says, you need to put some salve in your eyes that you might see. Some kind of way your eyes are closed. Some of you know something about allergies. Some allergies just close your eyes completely. They puff up where you can't hardly see a thing. And you have to get some Visine or some Murine and get it all cleared up. If you want your church to grow, put Christ in it. If you want your church to grow, put Christ in you, and then let the Spirit of Christ come out of you, and you begin to see that church really grow. But we got so much tension, we got so much fraction going on in the church that we, as the body of Christ, will never, ever grow. most of us past congregations on the way to the Church of Christ that's got over 15,000 members, 20,000 members. Some here in Atlanta's got 40,000 members. And you get to your own church and you got 100, or you got 50, or you got 15 members, and you blaming it on everything and everybody but you. Stop and look and listen, as they used to say when you get ready to cross a railroad track. What you need to do is stop and recognize that you do not have Christ in you. I'm telling you this. You do not. If you want them conflict, if you want them persons that can't see nothing but negative all the time, you do not have Christ in you. When I go on vacation, I'm looking for the nature. I'm looking for the leaves on the trees. I'm looking for a good time. I'm looking, but if you take a cat with you, he always looking for a rat, always. And we have some members in the congregation who are just like a cat. When they come to church, they don't look for nothing nice. They don't look for nothing positive. They're always looking for a rat. And it's and the pitiful thing about it is they don't know that they are it. We want to pray for all of those who are on this call today, that God will continue to bless you, that you can really be the kind of, that the Spirit will come in you. We want to pray for Brother Robert Gardhauer in Nashville, Tennessee, who's the minister of the Schrader Lane Church of Christ. His mother passed away, Sister Gardhauer passed away, last week, and the funeral was yesterday. Keep them in your prayers. He's the minister of the Schrader Lane Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee, where my brother-in-law is an elder there. We've been going to Schrader Lane over 50 years, and so we want to pray for that family. Brother Robert Gardhauer and his mother passed away. She was 95 years old, and they had the funeral on yesterday. Jesus loved you. He died for you, and he's coming again, and I hope you really do have a super-duper week.